Grace to you in peace. In the name of our Savior Jesus, who is our good shepherd and our leader, dear fellow redeemed. The text for our meditation and application to our daily walk of faith is taken from the Gospel of Mark. We read from chapter 6, verses 30 through 34. The apostles returned to Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. And he said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while." For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a desolate place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they ran there on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. These are the words of our Lord. Let us pray. Let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. I once read a quote regarding leadership by a man who'd written a number of books on leadership, and the quote said this: "A leader is one who knows the way, goes the way, and shows the way." I like that quote. I like that definition of leadership. I want you to think about that definition of leadership as we consider this text for our sermon today. And I want you to think about that quote: "A leader is one who knows the way, goes the way, and shows the way," as we consider the question that makes up our sermon theme for today, which is, who is your leader? Who is my leader? It's an important question to ask as we examine our lives, isn't it? Whoever or whatever it is that is leading you, guiding you, directing you along your path of life, had better know the right way to go, had better be able to show you how to get that way as well. We can answer that question, who is your leader or who is my leader, in an infinite number of ways. But there really is only one right answer. Now, what is the way that we often live out the answer to that question? Who is your leader or who is my leader? Who or what is it that's leading, guiding, and directing you and me? Well, the answer can also often be summed up with just one word, and that is me. Who is leading and guiding and directing me? Well, it's me. Me and my desires are usually what guides and directs my life, and therefore I am my own leader. That's how we human beings tend to be by nature. That's how we are by nature. We think we know what is best. We do what we want to do, and often for no better reason than it just feels good or it makes me happy right now. We try and put ourselves in control of our lives, and we think that we are the captains of our own destinies. We are the ones who are steering our own ship. But is that actually true? And is that really a good idea? How do we match up with that definition of a leader from the beginning of our sermon? Do we and our desires always know the right way? Do we always go the right way? And do we always show the right way to others? And the answer, of course, is obviously no, we don't always do that. We are broken and flawed people. Our desires are corrupted by our sinful nature. We do not by nature know the way, go the way, or show the way that is right for us or best for us. Remember what the Bible compares us to. What animal does the Bible often compare us to? It is, of course, sheep. Sheep are dependent animals. They need constant guidance. If they don't receive guidance from a good, caring leader, they are prone to just wander aimlessly toward harm or even death. Sheep can be very foolish. They don't have a lot of defenses. They're almost completely defenseless. No claws, no fangs. They're very self-destructive animals. So ask yourself, would you really want a sheep for your leader? Would you want a sheep steering your ship, guiding and directing your life? Have you ever seen those bumper stickers or license plate frames? They were pretty popular back in the 80s. So for some of you, this is like ancient history, but there were these bumper stickers and these license plate frames that I would see all over town when I was growing up that said this, "If God, or God is my co-pilot." I remember reading that even as a child, I was like, that's kind of a strange thing. God is my co-pilot. And then I remember many years later seeing a response to that that I thought was really good. It said, "If God is your co-pilot, you need to switch seats." Is God our co-pilot? Is Jesus our pilot? Does the famous hymn say, "Jesus, Savior, co-pilot me"? Or does it say, "Jesus, Savior, pilot me"? Does he have that driver's seat in our lives, the pilot seat? Or do we try and wrestle that wheel away from him and say, "Jesus, you sit over there. You advise me, but I'm going to steer this life"? Well, another mistake we often make is trying to make, maybe not ourselves our leader, but we try to maybe make someone else our leader. And sometimes we can do this without even realizing it. Take a look in our text at the people who were flocking to see Jesus. Look especially at verse 34. When Jesus saw this great crowd, it says, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. These people were desperate for guidance. They needed direction. They are compared to sheep by Mark in this section of verses in Mark's gospel. They needed direction, and many of them gathered in front of Jesus because they hoped to find that direction in Jesus. Notice Mark puts it this way, these people were like sheep without a shepherd. And yet the reality was they actually had many shepherds. Many of these people probably went to the synagogue on the Sabbaths, and they were probably taught by a number of rabbis and teachers of the law, the Pharisees, the scribes, other religious leaders. The problem was these so-called shepherds weren't giving them the guidance or the spiritual food that their souls actually needed. Their hearts, their minds, and their lives were not being pointed to a Savior from sin that would save them eternally, but rather they were being pointed to a earthly Messiah who would restore a powerful earthly kingdom and give them all kinds of earthly blessings. And unfortunately, when we read this account that happened afterwards in John's gospel, many of the people were troubled at this. This was too much for them, and they stopped following Jesus. They tried to make Jesus their bread king. They saw him as a miracle worker, but not necessarily as their savior from sin. The religious leaders of Jesus' day were unfortunately much like the shepherds, the bad shepherds that Jeremiah described in our Old Testament reading. I read again those verses from Jeremiah chapter 23, where it says, "Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, declares the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the shepherds who care for my people. You have scattered my flock and have driven them away, and you have not attended to them." There is nothing new under the sun. There are still many shepherds around today that will leave God's people scattered and directionless. They won't supply them the spiritual food of that pure gospel of Christ that our souls actually really desperately need. Like the people of our text, we too can follow those types of leaders without maybe even realizing it. That's why Jesus gives us many warnings to avoid them, to not follow those false teachers or false prophets. He says in Matthew chapter 7, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves." So how do we avoid that? How do we know if the church we attend, the preacher we hear, or the book that we're reading is leading us in the right direction? and that we're not just following a bad shepherd, or even worse, following a wolf. Well, Jesus said in that same chapter, Matthew chapter 7, he says, "By your fruits you will know them." In other words, look at what they're doing, look at what they're teaching. Look at who they are being led by. Are they being led by Jesus and his word? What is the focus of their ministry? Is it earthly prosperity? Having a good life in the here and now? Is it on you achieving your potential, or you acquiring some miraculous, powerful spiritual gifts? Or is their focus on Jesus and his word? Is their focus on our good shepherd, our savior from sin, who gives up his life for the sheep? If it isn't, God's directions to us are very clear. Avoid them. If we place anyone or anything in the driver's seat of our lives, we are misguided. We are heading in the wrong direction. And so ourselves, our desires, our jobs, our spouse, our friends, our wealth, even our own family, if any of these are in the number one place in our life, leading and guiding us and directing us, then once again, we need to switch seats. Remember what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." When we seek God and his righteousness and his kingdom first, all those other things in life, those very important things, will fall into place. And so by God's grace, we do call Jesus our leader. He is our shepherd. Who else would we want leading, guiding, and directing our lives? And doesn't Jesus perfectly fit that definition of a leader? Think again of that definition from the beginning of the sermon. A leader is one who knows the way, goes the way, and shows the way. Jesus definitely knows the way. He not only knows it, he is it. Jesus himself said, "I am the way." He came from heaven as our good shepherd to take us to heaven and give us heaven by his sacrifice. Jesus once said, "I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep." Jesus not only knows the way, he goes the way. He always did, and he still does the right thing and the best thing for us at all times. And he lived that perfect life in our place that we simply could not. And we see in our text just how tirelessly and how compassionate our leader, our good shepherd, is. Remember those words that said they didn't even have time to eat? They were so exhausted and so worn out from ministry, they had to go off by themselves, and the people still found them. And yet, what did Jesus do? Did he say, "Get out of here, people. I'm tired. I need a nap. Stay away from me." No, it says he had compassion on them. He literally reached out his heart to them. He suffered with them in their need. Jesus also saw us in our scattered, directionless life and was moved with compassion for us and brought us into his flock. So Jesus clearly knows the way, goes the way. He also shows the way. He showed compassion on those people, and what did he do for them? Our text ends with these words, "He began to teach them," this multitude of people, "many things." Luke's account of this in his gospel tells us what Jesus taught them. It says, "He taught them, spoke to them about the kingdom of God." He spoke to them about the way of salvation, how to be in and get to the kingdom of God, and that way was through him. In the same way Jesus came to us and chose to be our good shepherd, to lead us through his word. And his gospel message of life and salvation through his sacrifice for our sins is what raised our dead hearts back to life and gives our new lives real purpose and direction. It is that gospel message that brings us into the very kingdom of God itself. Now, certainly Jesus has also blessed all of us in our lives by giving us various shepherds to guide us and help us in our spiritual lives. He's given us pastors, a word which means shepherd. He's also given us teachers, Christian parents, grandparents. He's given us Christian mentors and friends to lead us and guide us to Jesus. But these have all been under shepherds of Christ. There is one good shepherd. And it has been truly a great blessing to be the under shepherd that Christ has given, that has made me to give to you for the last 7.5 years. It's been a blessing to serve as that under shepherd, under the good shepherd, Jesus Christ. It's been my desire and prayer that everything that I say and do would lead you and point you to your good shepherd. So each worship service and each Bible study, I strive to bring you his words, not my words. And as you already know, last Sunday I announced that I'll be serving a different flock in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, beginning in mid-October. But I also want to remind you today that you will not be left without a shepherd, even after I move. Not only am I confident in praying that the Lord would bring you a faithful pastor, a faithful shepherd, that he has prepared for you to help lead you and guide you into God's word, but I also want to remind you that your good shepherd, Jesus, will always be here. That will never change. And so I remind you and encourage all of you to go directly to our good shepherd. I remind myself to go to our good shepherd, hear his words for yourself from his word, the Bible. Let him lead you to the spiritual green pastures and the still waters that restore our souls. Only when we daily and continually hear his voice can we truly be led by him. May we always give Jesus the driver's seat to lead us in this life and the next. And may we always answer that question, who is your leader? May we always answer that with the one correct answer, Jesus. Amen. Please rise. And that peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.